Log Talk Radio.
Back and forth, Atkinson.
Oh.
That moves forward.
Well, you asking for some soup right now?
I can wait. Let's go get everything in.
I think that's all I got.
Well, that's all I want.
Somebody.
I'm buying up the gourmet cookies. I was the number one sales in Florida.
Okay, so there is some more stuff coming yet. No, it's better just to leave the cover on. Just leave the cover on.
Love, hope, and they will.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and as of today, 11/20/2019, which for those of you that don't know numbers, is November the 20th, 2019. This is a recording. I decided to record it one day early because I have some pre-existing commitments tomorrow, and I didn't want the same thing that happened last week to happen this week. In case some of you missed it, last week was a recording. We were not on and we were not live, but that wasn't my fault. Gina was on vacation, so there, I spilled the beans. I'm glad that we can do this today, though, because a lot has happened in these 2 weeks. Apparently, there's now wall-to-wall coverage of something that won't lead anywhere except perhaps to less votes for the Democrat Party, which is the impeachment hearings. It's just a sad state of affairs that we've become like a banana republic, where if we don't like the person in power, we will pronounce them guilty and then proceed to find evidence to suit our conclusion. That's not the way things work, at least not, in a civilized nation. But civility has gone out the window. Everything's gone out the window. These people know that come 2020, they will likely lose the House as well as be short of the Senate and the presidency, even with all the illegal votes and whatnot. So, they're doing everything they can to either damage this president or get him impeached, which is a non-starter. You're not going to have – how much do they need? 13 or 23 Republican senators votes to impeach this president unless you do want a civil war on your hands, because you have 63 million people that voted for this president, a large swath of which think he's doing a decent job, especially given all the headwinds and all the resistance, if you will. I hate that word because it has now become part of our vernacular. But yes, given all that we see brought up against this administration, it's surprising that they get anything done. So the fact that things are getting done are pleasing to those who did vote for this president. Now, today's going to be a special program. We are going to have another question and answer program. Apparently, questions have accumulated. Gino has them. I have not seen these pre-recording. I have not perused the questions. I have not jotted down witty answers. I'm a, fly-by-night sort of your cuff sort of guy. So I will answer to the best of my ability. I will be honest and forthright in my answers, even if I get the inkling that my answers may annoy, irritate, or otherwise anger people. That's not my fault. As long as I know I'm speaking the truth, then your emotionality, to paraphrase somebody's bastardizing of the English language, your emotionality has no bearing on what I do. My only concern is that I speak the truth. So without further ado, since we want to get to as many questions as possible, Gino, let her rip.
All right, Mike, I guess the first question would be, you know, assuming, and you mentioned civil war. A lot of talk's been happening now about civil war, and even President Trump brought it up. What do you believe would be a precursor to civil war in America?
Well, it's not one thing. It's an amalgam of things. It's a plethora of things. To show off my brilliance in the English language, yes, plethora is one of those word-a-day dictionary sort of things. But all kidding aside, it could be sparked from either side, from what I'm seeing, because the other side is thoroughly unhinged. This is one thing that we have to agree with, even if we don't agree with anything else, is that the other side is thoroughly unhinged. When you have sitting members of Congress talking about, you know, putting the sitting president in a cage and, you know, turning off the lights and letting him rot and bringing up his 14-year-old child on charges and all this other stuff, these people aren't playing with a full deck. It's not as though reason and logic will win the day with folks such as these. And so from that side, I think another win in 2020, a blowout, as I'm suspecting it will be, I think it will be very damaging to the Democrat Party, the road that they've decided to go down on. I think it's going to be a landslide victory for this administration. I think we're probably likely going to take the House back, most likely going to increase seats in the Senate. And all the people that are already teetering on madness are going to go, you know, full insane. They've got no other thing. To them, do you realize that to some of these people, the fact that Donald Trump is president and the fact that he has been for 3 years, in their mind, it's likened to the Holocaust. Even though normal people look around and go, hey, the economy is doing pretty good. I'm getting a little more money in my paycheck. Everyone that wants a job has a job. He hasn't put anyone in prison like they keep harping. And I know there's pseudo-Christian whatever watchers, whatever they think themselves to be, going, well, it's just a matter of time. Then he's a little slow. Because, you know, if he loses in a year, then his term will be up. And, yes, he will walk away because there's no chance that if an election is won legally, if the Electoral College and the popular vote go against him, he's not going to be able to muster up defense and go, well, I'm not going anywhere. It's not. These people like to throwing these red herrings. You know, they like going down the hypothetical road to what could be the possible worst thing that could happen. The night of the election, we were told that the Dow Jones was going to go down to single digits. If Trump won the election. Last I checked, even though I'm not into stocks currently, and I do have absolutely no stock tips, last I checked, this thing's just bumping all-time highs every day. So everything that they told you would happen, the worst possible scenario that they were able to paint, has turned out to be the opposite. So from that angle, I think another win by Donald Trump would bring us closer to civil war, if you want to call it that, than anything else. On the other hand, if guys like Pierre Delecto, and if you don't know who Pierre is, well, that is apparently the alter ego of one Mitchum Romney, or Mitt, as he likes to be called. You know, if Pierre Delecto and his spineless id, because these are, look, you can tell which ones are the career politicians, the whatever you call them, career diplomats, but they're not diplomats. They're career politicians, and they're all on the grift, and they're all on the take. If you start doing a little research into why this Ukraine thing is such a big deal, you come to realize that no less than four offspring of very prominent U.S. politicians on both sides, both Democrat and Republican, were getting hefty sums of money for no-show jobs. I don't know if you know the definition of no-show jobs, but the mob back in the day used to do that to construction companies. They used to come put a handful of people on the payroll, and they go, if you don't want trouble, these are your employees. Well, are they going to come to work? Of course not. They don't know the first thing about construction. Are you insane? So why would I be paying them? So you don't get your ankles broke. And that's what a no-show job was. And that's exactly where what not – and again, both sides of the aisle, because Mitt Romney's kid apparently now intertwined with Ukrainian oil. So is John Kerry's kid. So is Joe Biden's kid. So is a close relation of Nancy DePelosi. So let's not, which happens to be her husband, by the way. I'm just, because in close relation, what do you mean, like a third cousin? No, her husband. Her husband's in this. And so what Donald Trump did by saying, hey, you should check your corruption, is he threatened their gravy train. Let's just put all the cards on the table. Since we're here, let's talk about this thing. Because everyone's, oh, my goodness, can you believe what he said? I read the transcript. Yes, check your corruption. We're giving you money, but you have a reputation for being a thoroughly corrupt country, sort of like Romania, too. I'm not saying that we're saints, because you know what? Joe Biden's kid apparently went to Romania as well and, using daddy's name, swindled some money out of there, too. Understand that if all the back channel bribery, hand washing, corruption came to light of all the politicians in the U.S., that in itself would likely cause a civil war if the average citizen sat there and goes, hey, they did these things with my tax dollars. They got rich. They threatened and they leveraged the U.S. and the taxpayer dollar to make themselves and their families wealthy. Now, I don't know who listens to this program, but if perchance there is a job opening with your company for $87,000 per month, for me not to show up and not know the first thing about what it is that your company does, give me a buzz. I would love to apply. I'll take the job. Not a problem. Because that's exactly what happened with Joe Biden's kid. This is why it's an issue. And this is why everybody's backpedaling and going, well, that's not what we should look at. We should look at the phone call where Trump said, hey, you know, we've been through a lot as a country. Can you check on this corruption thing and the election thing and all this other stuff? Because you know what happened in 2016? Let's, again, backtrack some more. Because if you want to get into this, we need to get into this. You need to understand the framework of why they're just full bore, all guns against this president, why they want to do away with him. Okay, in 2016, before the elections, the Ukrainians sort of picked their horse. Let's put it that way. They laid a bet down on their horse, and it wasn't Donald Trump. Because they'd had relations with Hillary in the past. They knew that she was good to go as far as, hey, you know, we will donate some monies to your charity. We just need a piece of paper signed from you. It's very easy. It's nothing big. How much money would you like us to donate to your charity? How's $5 million sound? It is good deal. It is good deal. God bless you, Hillary. Good doing charity with you. And that's what happens with these people. Do you realize that right now the Clinton Foundation, the one that was taking in billions of dollars before Hillary's fall from grace or her unelectability became known, now is bankrupt or at least close to it. They're at a like $16 million loss. And the fact of the matter is that there was nothing charitable about the Clinton Foundation. It was a cutout. It was a means by which Bill or William Jefferson couldn't take money, you know, first person. Somebody couldn't come and just give him a satchel of cash. So there was the cutout. There was the Clinton Foundation, where no charity is done, but billions of dollars are spent. Wink, wink. And so they donate to the Clinton Foundation for the favors. Look, Bill Clinton went and had a private meeting with Putin, off the record. I don't know what was spoken there, and neither do you. The only two people that know, apparently, are Putin and Clinton. But hey, during that same time period, Bill Clinton got paid $500,000 to give a 30-minute speech. If anyone is looking for a speaker, I'll do it for $50, and I'll talk for an hour. Imagine that. That's a bargain. Now, you know, I understand that Bill Clinton was president and whatnot. Don't get me wrong. There is an honor attached to his name. But what could he have possibly said to warrant and justify $500,000 for a 30-minute speech? Unless this was pre-Amazon and he was from the future and he was telling people, hey, buy Amazon stock at $1.50, I don't see it. I really, really don't. So everyone's on the take. And this is one of the most depressing things for me. This is one of the most upsetting things for me, because I left a banana republic to come to this country, hoping and praying that it wouldn't turn into a banana republic, hoping and praying that people didn't get into government and elected office just to see what they could grift. It's beyond sad. Look, every single person that seems to be retiring from government gets some sort of cush job sitting on the board of some multinational corporation. Do you realize that there's something profoundly wrong with this? And if you look back on these people's history and the way they voted, I guarantee you a pattern would emerge, where at some point in their political career, an unwritten promise was made. You scratch our back, we'll scratch your wallet. So now you have former senators lobbying on behalf of multinationals. You have Paul, the guy from Wisconsin, he ran for vice president with Romney. He's sitting on the board of Fox. You had just, you know, a mouth breather like Chelsea Clinton sitting on the board of CNBC. Tell me that all of these multi-million dollar salaries for no-show jobs are warranted and justified. Hunter Biden is a crack addict, for lack of a better term. He got busted with a crack pipe in a rental car. He himself confessed to waking up in a crack den in L.A., blitzed out of his mind, not knowing what his name was. He got kicked out of the Navy for popping positive on drugs. Yes, of all the people who know something about oil, of all the people who actually graduate college with a master's in oil, I guess, Hunter Biden was eminently qualified. He was the most qualified of all the people that would have loved $1 million a year job for not showing up. But yes, we should impeach Donald Trump, correct, because he spoke to the newly elected leader of Ukraine and said, hey, the guy before you, kind of corrupt. Are you dealing with the corruption in your country? Yes, that's firing squad, I say. Impeachment is not enough. Where's the firing squad? So if they do go through with this idiocy, for lack of a better term, if they actually muster up the votes on what they have thus far to oust a president from office, a duly elected president, because the swamp wants to remain the swamp and they feel threatened, that too could very well trigger a civil war in this country. Because the 63-odd million people that voted for Donald Trump, I'm not saying all of them, but a good 80% own some type of firearm. The other side, you know, soy and gluten-free bread. So just, you know, let's take that into account. Why don't we? But I hope I've answered your question, Gene. There's many ways that a civil war could be sparked in this country, unfortunately. And it's because we're so divided. I mean, we're at such opposite poles that there's nothing that can reunite us at this juncture.
Yeah. You answered my first three questions in one. Point two was, why is Trump being so villainized? You clearly answered that. You know, and then on the end of division, what would happen in America if a civil war broke out? What do you think the initial first part of that would look like in the U.S.?
Well, if we went by what Grandpa saw, what the angel of the Lord told him, the angel of the Lord told him that it would begin with an internal revolution started in the middle of the country. Now, what that would look like is a hellscape, because back in the day when the first civil war occurred in America, there were two sides that were very well delineated. You have the North and the South. And so when they came together on the battlefield, they knew who the enemy was. Now, in 2020, 2021, 2024, whenever you want to look at it, you have, what, 330-odd million people, and it's an amalgam of people. It's a population that is not delineated by any means. We're not like the North and the South. So it would be horrendous. You wouldn't know who's friend or foe. So it would be a slaughter. I think the first 2 weeks of this would be utter chaos. It would be utter slaughter. There would every single social blanket that you count on, from McDonald's to ATMs to supermarkets, would end in an instant. Anybody that's living in a city, 90% of those people would die outright because they'd starve. So, I mean, if you want to go down that road, and if you want to let your imagination run wild, it will get ugly and bloody and messy, because once this powder keg is set off, people who really don't have any political leaning but realize opportunity and realize that it's a good time to profiteer will go nuts. And unfortunately, those kinds of people are multiplying in our society. People that really have no loyalty to anything but themselves. And so when this thing sets off, once somebody sees that their neighbor has something they want, they'll go smack them over the head and take it. Because, hey, it's the entire nation that's unraveling. Why shouldn't I do what I want to do now? Why shouldn't I take what I can take because I'm stronger? So I don't want to see what I know will be, let's put it that way. It'll be horrendous on every level, and I think that the safest place to be is either out in the country or in a neighborhood where you know your neighbors, where you can band together, where you can sort of mount a defense, for lack of a better term. Because in a country like this, with the amount of people that we have, with the amount of firepower that's been accumulated, you don't want to see a breakdown of civil society. You don't want to see a breakdown of civility, because it would just be chaos. Next question, Gina.
Appreciate that answer, and that pretty much encompasses what your grandfather saw, and I think it's very important to realize just how terrible this would be. And leads me to another question. What should the church, how proactive should the church be in 2020 and to see that we don't end up losing this election to what I would agree with you are fanatically liberal and bordering on insane people, totally people that are for infanticide, more laws and rights for gay rights causes. We don't know what bathroom next will be legal or illegal. How would you encourage the church to be involved in 2020?
Well, first of all, I want to say that if you say nothing and do nothing, then you have no right to complain. Because I know there's a lot of armchair quarterbacks, especially in Christendom, who say nothing, who do nothing, but choose to judge everyone else doing anything because it makes them feel better about themselves. I think there's a reason that they're trying to separate evangelical Christians from this administration. They're doing everything they can, man. They're throwing everything in the kitchen sink in the hopes that the evangelical church would turn their back or not turn up to vote, because they know that we're a majority if we all did what we know we're supposed to do. And again, I'm not debating. This is not a debate, because I would win. A debate on who to vote for, of all the candidates currently in the Democrat field and the current president, I can tell you 50 reasons why you should vote for the current president and not one to vote for anything else. Look, if nothing else, sanctity of life. That's it. To me, I'm not voting for perfect people to run my life, because there's no such thing as a perfect person. I have enough reason and logic to understand how quickly the dissent would come if the other side took power and if they had absolute power. Understand that it's a scary thing to acknowledge that the other side uses power far more aggressively than our side does. We had the majority in the House and the Senate for the first couple of years. Paul Ryan did absolutely nothing. He just sat there and, you know, orchestrated his exit and his payday for sitting on Fox's board. That was his preoccupation. So if we come to the point that the other side gets the House, the Senate, and the presidency, then you will see how ruthlessly power can be wielded. Then you will see how quickly laws can be enacted to outlaw even the mention of Christ, because it's offensive. You're offending the LBGBDQBDDBDBDU. You're offensive to people who have mental issues. Less than 1% of society that has the mental issues. You, majority, are offensive to their demeanor. You are offensive to their way of life. And so you must be silenced. You must make the necessary changes, because less than 1% of the population doesn't like what you stand for, doesn't like what you say. And unfortunately, that less than 1% of the population is so vocal and so rabid, and they're out there beating drums all the time, that now even a company that was, like, you know, credible, like Chick-fil-A, finds itself bending the knee ever so slowly. Because there's constant pressure on every Christian company, there's constant pressure on every Christian organization to just shut up. Because only if you shut up, only if you are silent, will they be able to attain power. And once they've attained power, they no longer care if you're being silent or not, because they want to do away with you. Understand that those preaching tolerance are the most intolerant people on the planet. Those preaching tolerance are the people who would sit there and smile while eating popcorn watching you get decapitated, because their heart is filled with hate. There is no room for another opinion. There is no room for science even. There's no room for any of those things when these people are concerned. It's their way or the highway. And if you don't do what they want, God forbid they get power, oh, they'll make you pay. 10 ways from Sunday, they'll make you pay. They'll make you remember and rue the day that you dared stand up and say, I don't think transitioning 4- and 5-year-olds is good practice. Understand that people who just said that, people who came out against butchering babies, basically, 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds pumping them full of drugs that are shown to spike the mortality rate. people who just said, you know, when you're old enough, feel free to decide. It wasn't a moral rejection. It wasn't a moral outrage. It was something logical. Just don't, you know, it's a five-year-old. Those people are getting deplatformed. Those people are getting kicked off of pay sites. Those people are getting letters from their bank saying, yeah, we no longer want to do business with your kind. So imagine, just imagine what it would be like if they did get power. Imagine what it would be like if they could, with a snap of a finger, legislate you out of existence. So, yeah, if you're wise, then you look at the situation and go, okay, I'm going to, you know, do my part. Because if the church came out during the last election, if there weren't so many voices going, oh, no, I could never, Trump would have likely won the popular vote as well. I think it was the hand of God, to be perfectly honest with you, that he pulled off what he pulled off. There's just too many things and people and too much money against him. But we listened to the voices, didn't we? And I'm speaking generally, of course. Oh, guys, you're putting your hand in with, well, by not doing anything, you're putting your hand in with child murder, with abortion, with all the things that these people are saying. Do you realize that there's people saying that 4 more years of this administration would damage the nation irreparably? Now, sit there and find me one thing that goes against your moral code that this administration has done. And imagine if there is that one thing that they've done against your moral code, what the other side would have done. So it's if you want to frame it in, you know, you pick the worst, you pick the best of two evils, fine, frame it that way. But again, I have a pastor. I'm not looking to elect one. I'm looking to elect someone that just believes that there's equal justice under the law, that isn't so seeped into the swamp that has become this banana republic that they can't do a thing without getting permission because their kid or their nephew or their uncle's kid or their brother's son would lose out on multi-million-dollar contracts or jobs or no show, you know, just it'd be fun for money to show up in your bank account every month, wouldn't it, at the tune of $87,000 per. And that's just one. I guarantee you, if this thing, if they start digging, they'll realize just how corrupt. Because once you get a taste, once you realize how easy it is, $87,000 a month is chump change to some of these people. That's the amount of money they leave in tips. And if somebody took the time to get into the weeds, they'd realize just how much money these people have siphoned, just how much money they've made off of just signing a piece of paper. Because that's all they had to do. You either embargo a product or allow for free shipping. Ah, it's a signature. But man, if you allow for the free shipping of that product and somebody's got ships waiting and it's in demand, and you only allow it from one region of the world, wink, wink, instant billionaire. These are high-stakes games. This is why people who threaten these high-stake games end up dead most of the time. I know, suicide. If you just did a superficial study of how many Clinton associates and acquaintances have committed suicide, you wouldn't be wrong in thinking that Hillary Clinton was the angel of death herself. I mean, any other person that would have that many friends kill themselves, people would start to wonder. And this orange-haired businessman who donates his salary to either, you know, the building fund or the veterans or whoever, who doesn't even get paid, came in and said, all right, this country made me a billionaire, and I love this country. I'm going to fight for it. Now, I know you may not be a billionaire, and Lord knows I'm not. But if you have kids, maybe, just maybe, acknowledge that it's worth fighting for, that it's worth doing what you can, especially when you hear young people going, oh, socialism is so great. Why can't we have Bernie as president and AOC as VP? See, because if there's no pushback to that, if you don't sit them down and go, hey, this is what socialism ends up being every time, those kids will vote for the socialist. Look, I'm not telling you what to do, but I know what I'm doing. And the reason I'm doing it is, like I've said before multiple times, I've got kids, and there's no other place to go. Where am I going to run to when this thing falls apart? That's another question you maybe should ask yourself before you, oh, pish-tosh, let it fall. Where are you going to go? Look, I'd rather look back on my life and go, hey, maybe, you know, we may have lost at some point, but at least we fought. And the thing that scared the wits out of these people is the fact that there's one guy in the White House that decided he was going to fight. They never had that before. Do you realize that the Democrat Party never had one Republican president other than Ronald Reagan that fought back? And that stunned them. Because the only person that was around, you know, back in the good old days of Reagan was what, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. The people that want to get elected to change government once and for all. If you're in government for 54 years, and this is what government has become, and you're out there telling people to elect you as president so you can change government, allow me to be a wee bit skeptical. You were vice president for 8 years. Why didn't you change anything then? I know, too busy with getting Hunter settled. You know, my kid's got to have a nest egg first, and then we'll fix the country. Dadgummit. Ugh. So this is why these people don't know how to handle a guy like Donald Trump. They're not used to Republicans fighting back. They're not used to Republicans throwing it back in their face. What was it? We missed last week, so it was sometime during the week before. Donald Trump Jr. Is on a book tour, I guess, and he was on The View. If you don't know what The View is, God bless you. You shouldn't know what it is. Anyway, it's four harpies talking about things they have no clue about, trying to sound smart. And you know, Donald Trump Jr. apparently is a chip off the old block as he showed up guns blazing. And he just told the truth. He told one of the most wretched human beings that graces television during the day, Joy Behar, hey, you were in blackface. What right have you to judge? And it's true. There's pictures of Joy Behar in blackface. But these people are so self-righteous and pious that anytime anyone pushes back against them, they lose it. Because they're used to guys like Pierre Delecto just rolling over and showing the whites of their bellies. They're used to guys like George Bush Jr. who went along to get along. Come on, man. Open your eyes and see what's happening. Because God forbid they take 2020. This thing is going to end quickly. But the pain's going to last for a very long time. Anyway, Gino, next question.
So that leads to a question, Mike. Why is the church so sleepy and not engaged against the evil like it should be? I'll give you examples. Illinois, the worst pro-abortion laws in the country, where you can actually deliver the baby and kill the baby. They declared that a fetus has no human rights. New York State, California 2 years ago wanting pastors to that preached against homosexuality to literally have to go to the local authorities and sign a register. And I could go on and on. Where is the church? And why is the church in this condition in your belief? Because years ago when we were traveling, before the first 911 came about and God gave you the vision of it, I believe God showed you this inside of a church that they were sleeping. And I'm really believing we're at that point again. What's your take on that?
Well, it started with separating the idea that Christians need to be moral. Okay? I mean, when you have close to 30% of church-going people voting for abortion, when you have supposed preachers and pastors from all sorts of denominations blessing abortion clinics, there's a cancer in the church. And we're not talking about it because we don't want to offend. Well, there is. When you have a transgender person elected as bishop or overseer or pastor of a Baptist church over people with wives and children and normalcy, there's a cancer in the church, and we've allowed it to metastasize. It's people having Jesus on their lips but not on their hearts. It's people saying the name of Christ and showing up on Sunday morning thinking that that's enough for fire insurance, but not really living moral lives. That's why we're facing what we're facing, because the church itself is seeped in sin. How long has it been since you've heard a message on repentance in the church? I'm not talking about, you know, you traveling with me or the places we preach, but like a mainstream mega church. It had to take, what, Kanye West to go to Joel Osteen's church and talk about repentance. And all the people were like, what's that? Because we're not living holy lives. Because the church is just another club. We go there, we hear some nice songs, we hear an inspirational message about how Jesus wants your best for you. And then we go on in our evil ways, we go on in our evil conduct. We vote for things that are amoral and abominable in God's eyes because our spiritual leaders say it's okay. God's changed, you know. So, you know, if the church were really the church, this wouldn't be an issue, but it's not. Much of what calls itself the church today is putrid. Much of what calls itself the church today is just a dead thing that doesn't know it's dead yet. So there's no easy answer. I understand where you're coming from, but churches are the most culpable of all. Because you have churches standing out there with rainbow flags, bringing their kids along, watching adult men in chaps just flinging their junk in front of their faces. Because we need to be inclusive, and we need to validate them, and we need to be tolerant. So the church is the first on the list that God's going to judge.
Yep.
Judgment doesn't begin in the house of God because God just wants to beat up his own kids. God's going to judge those pretending to be his kids, those that have sat at his table and eaten his food, yet are not of his blood. That's who God's going to judge. Judgment begins in the house of God because something is foul in the house of God. It stinks. It's putrid. And the reason we're seeing politics heading towards what it's heading is because the church itself isn't living in the light. The church itself isn't living righteousness. That's it. Look, Now Gino knows how to ask the questions that get me ramped up. You know, it wasn't only heathens that bought 50 Shades of Grey. Let's throw that out there too. It wasn't only atheists that bought 50 Shades of Grey. Guarantee you there's plenty of dog-eared copies under beds of many a pastor's wives, too. But these are the same people that come out, oh my goodness, did you hear what he said? He used the S word. How removed from reason do you have to be? How utterly clueless? How disingenuous and hypocritical? Look, the church is full of hypocrites. Call it what it is. And they feign outrage, and they feign insult, and they feign as though, oh, they're so highly offended. Because they believe they'll be left alone, and their hypocrisy won't be pointed out if they, you know, project. It's just, it's sad, and it's troubling. And like I said, there comes a point where you're on the fence of starting to pray, Lord, just bring the judgment already, or not. Because it's deserved. And the judgment's going to start in the church, and once it's started, it'll be a wildfire. And it'll burn up the chaff, and then you'll see for yourselves just how few there were that stood. Just how few there were that lived righteousness. Because you cannot call yourself a child of God. You cannot call yourself a believer. You cannot call yourself a Christian. You cannot call yourself a follower of Christ and then put your thumb on the scale for murder of babies. Or for someone that has said with their own mouth, if elected, I will vote to ensure that every woman in this country can murder her baby even after it's born. I'm sorry, I can't. I know. How? How do you get to that? How seared does your conscience have to be where you can still call yourself a son of God or daughter of God, a believer or a Christian, and then go vote for someone that has told you to your face, I'm going to legalize the murder of babies even after they're born. And you know what the caveat is? I'm going to make the taxpayer pay for it. How? Tell me how. How do you justify that? Because I can't. I can't wrap my mind around it. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just clueless. But if you can justify it somehow, please email me. So there's a lot of people calling themselves Christians that really aren't. But hey, you know, it's fun to go somewhere on a Sunday morning and dress up. But as far as living out their salvation or living out righteousness, that's too much. That's too much. You ask for things that are impossible, sir. But the Bible says that they are possible. In fact, the Bible insists that they are. So that's the crossroads we're at. Anyway, Gino, next question.
Well, that leads to this question. In your grandfather's message for America, four areas of the country will eventually be judged through a nuclear attack, being California, Florida, Vegas, and New York. How, as Billy Graham said, if God doesn't punish America, he said he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. How do you equate America in the terms of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Well, we're not hospitable. Isn't that the talking point? God didn't judge Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin of sodomy. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah because they were not hospitable. Have you heard anything more ludicrous in your life? Look, we know what it is. And we were told for the longest time that all that the homosexual lobby wanted was equal rights, right? The instant they got it, we moved on to transgenderism, and now there's a push for pedophilia. Who was it? Prince Andrew or Edward or some ridiculous English prince that was a friend of Epstein's. and has pictures of himself with underage girls. There are people in England defending him, saying, well, it's not pedophilia if it was prostitution. But the girl was a minor. It does not matter. It does not matter. It was not pedophilia if it was prostitution. This is how people justify these things. Look, sin is sin, yes. But some sins are an abomination to God. Some sins go against nature itself. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for a reason. And it wasn't because they were inhospitable. See, you have to read what was happening to Lot while he was in Sodom in order to understand why God finally sent judgment. God had decided to judge Sodom and Gomorrah before the Sodomites were inhospitable to the angels. The angels went in order to tell Lot that they would be judged. So let's not play these games. We know what sin is. The Bible is very clear on what sin is. But we try to find excuses and justifications. We try to find people to validate our sin rather than choose repentance of our sin. That's where we're at. Anyway, next question, Gene.
Okay, Mike, then, people can be very patriotic, and that's good. My kids served in the military, all of them, but, there's an allegiance to God and what God is saying. And some people are very optimistic, well, America is going to just continue and stay the power that it is. But if America doesn't repent, it was very clear that it would see this coming judgment. And how do you see America being unrepentant? Or do you see America repenting?
There's wishful thinking and then there's reality. Wishful thinking is, I hope America repents. Reality is, it would take something cataclysmic at this juncture to stir this nation to true repentance. I think God has, throughout, the last 30, 40 years, called this nation to repentance in different ways, by different means, with different levels of severity. But the nation has chosen to reject repentance. And now I think that there's a lot of believers that use the election of Donald Trump as some sort of, agreement by God that America has repented. No, it hasn't. Donald Trump has done nothing but buy some time. That's it. Judgment is still forthcoming. But God in his goodness said, you're going to have another stipend of time. Perhaps you'll get your head on straight. Perhaps the church will seek me and seek my face and turn from its wicked ways. But we're seeing that it's not happening. We're straying further and further away from the truth. And it's not in areas where you'd expect it to occur. It's not in places like California or like Las Vegas. It's places where you go, how can this be happening there? And it's a simplistic sort of question, because evil is evil throughout. And that's one thing that we have to grapple with. That's one thing that we have to understand. The devil's the same in Oklahoma as he is in California. And when people give in, when people surrender to the enemy, ugly things can happen in Oklahoma just as they do in California. It's just more unexpected. It takes you by surprise. But the fact that the church isn't pushing back on the godlessness that we're seeing just effervescing everywhere is astounding to me. And what's worse, look, you got a guy that he just came to the knowledge of Christ recently. He's not eloquent. He's not, perhaps very good at relaying the message of the cross, but he's trying. He's at his first love. And man, he's just talking Jesus all the time. And rather than encourage the conversation, you've got Christians coming out in droves with baseball bats at the ready trying to take a swing. Look, we're... Sometimes we are the hypocrites that we detest most. Sometimes we become these self-righteous, superior, heavenly-minded things that look their noses down on everyone else without even realizing it. Look, all have sinned and fallen short. That's what the book says.
Right.
I'm not going to judge a man's present based on his past, because if I did, then I'd never sit through another sermon by anybody other than someone who grew up in a bubble all of their life and never did anything naughty. And that kind of person just doesn't exist. But see, we always look back on people's past and judge their present based on their past. And when we do that, what we are in essence doing is saying that people can't change. And I don't believe that to be the truth. People can change. People do change. People are transformed by the power of Christ. People are transformed by humbling themselves and falling at the foot of the cross. I'm not going to be one of those people that doesn't believe people can change, because that would be a hopelessness that I could hardly fathom.
Mm-hmm.
So each of us needs to look in the mirror of the Word for themselves. I don't have time to judge another man's labors. I don't have time to judge another man's work. God will judge us all in the end. But see, too many of us are too busy judging others and not doing the work that we've been called to do. Too many of us are too busy nitpicking at what somebody did or said 30 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, rather than putting our hand to the plow and contributing to the kingdom. So, I don't know. God will judge us all. I think that's the best thing that can encapsulate what I've been trying to say today. Whether we do something or we don't, whether we speak up or we don't, whether we align ourselves with darkness or with light, God first knows all things, and second, God will judge us all. There is not one man that will escape judgment. So, do what you know is pleasing to God. Not what somebody tells you to do, not what somebody thinks you should do. The only criteria should be, is this pleasing to God? And if it is, then do it with all of your might. Do it with all of your heart. Because there's no point in doing anything in half measure. With that, I thank you all for listening. I hope you got something out of this question and answer session. I don't think we have time for one more question, so we will end it there. Hopefully next week we will be with you, if not live, then as close to live as possible. And until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you for your prayers. And Gino, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mike. I think this was a very important, these question and answers sessions that we've had. This is number 2. Simply our questions people ask, whether we travel, through YouTube. We did some meetings a short time ago in Indiana, and these are questions we get asked. And I think it was good that Mike addressed it. I think it's very sobering that Mike, you know, it's sobering, as Mike said. When someone finds Christ, they're a new creation, but you know what? They're growing, and you cannot throw stones and rocks at them and judge them. I think it's wonderful that Kanye West is doing what he's doing, and I think it should be an example for others. You know, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And you know, people are scratching their head going, hey, wasn't that guy a rapper? And wasn't he, like, rapping? But guess what? He's had a change of heart. if you know what, it's like in the Bible where Jesus told the disciples, they were literally telling the Lord to call fire down on a situation in the Bible where they didn't think these people were on, you know, on the Lord's side. And the Lord goes, you don't know what your heart, you don't know the way your heart is. Who's for me is not against me. And so God bless Mike for this wonderful show. I hope these answers help you. Until next week, God bless you. Thank you for listening to The Light of Truth.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all